Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the New Testament book of Matthew. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail your questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We're in Matthew, and we're continuing here in our study of verse 12 is where we'll start in chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, we'll begin at verse 12 in this session. Jesus Christ had just answered the disciples of John, vindicating his messiahship, and had sent the word back to John the Baptist that he was fulfilling what had been foretold in Isaiah of the blind seeing and the lame walking and all that was going on. And then he gave praise to the Lord God Almighty for such a one as John the Baptist. John the Baptist being the greatest born among women, but yet the least in the kingdom is greater than John. This is the dichotomy of the Old Testament prophet that John was and the New Testament believer who we are. That's what Christ gives us to understand, is that when we come to faith in Jesus Christ, that we are most blessed, and we are. Now, we begin at verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is likened to children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous, and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of her children. This suffering of violence in the kingdom of heaven speaks in this passage, verses 12, 13, and 14. It indicates that John opened the kingdom of heaven to sinners and thus became the culminating point of the Old Testament witness. This was God's plan. And Jesus says, if you will receive it, if you'll understand it, this is Elijah, which was to come. So John came in the spirit of Elijah, not as Elijah, but in the same spirit of Elijah, and he was promised to come. Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, promised Elijah to come. And then Christ goes on to say, if you've got ears, hear this and listen. Understand. If you've got ears to hear, let him hear. Then he talks about the generation, and we have a lot of conversation in society these days about the generations. We have folks talking about, well, this younger generation, whatever that means, I won't listen to Bible teaching. Well, I know that not to be true. I know it to be true that they will listen to Bible teaching. And we have others that say, well, all they want is some sort of rock music and nothing else. That's not true. There are some that have been seduced by various kinds of worship situations that may or may not have anything to do with Christ. But there are those of today's generation and yesterday's generation, whatever those terms may mean, who want the truth to be taught to them. They not only want to hear the truth, but they want to respond to the truth. They want to live the truth. And so before he began to talk about the generation and the problems that the generation has, he talked about your ears. If you've got an ear, use it. So this is a generation that he's talking to that's refusing to hear. It's like children sitting in the markets, and they call out, "We've played for you. We've played music. You haven't danced. We've cried and carried on, and you haven't lamented with us. What's wrong with you?" And then he goes on to make the application of the illustration. They say John is wrong because he didn't come eating or drinking. He has a devil, they say. But when Christ, the very Messiah, the Son of Man, that's the title of Messiah, came eating and drinking, they said he himself is sinful as well. So it is no value to listen to the so-called wisdom of fools. These people in the generation Christ is talking about are those who refuse to hear the truth, and they won't act upon it. And so whatever games they play, they finally decide just not to play any games. And here, the untruth, the lies, the claims that are totally false are being presented, and they have no value whatsoever. Verse 20, "Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." There was no change in these cities. And this, by the way, was also recorded in Luke. It was a different context, but it's recorded in Luke chapter 10. Let's read the text, then we'll talk about the towns. "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you." Ooh. Here, Christ denounces the Galilean cities where he's been healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf, etc. Chorazin was about an hour's walk north of Capernaum. Bethsaida was on the west side of the Sea of Galilee, 3 miles southeast of Chorazin. Tyre and Sidon are on the Mediterranean coast beyond the northern boundary. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 15, the king of Babylon, referring to Satan himself, probably, in the scripture, according to most commentators, it says, "shall be brought down to hell." Well, he speaks that of Capernaum. And by the way, if you go to Capernaum today, you will see nothing but ruins there. There used to be a monastery of some sort there, and there probably still is. But certainly it's not a city anymore. It's nothing to be seen except a few columns that have been excavated. Verse 25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I find it rather interesting that when you are looking at a number of commentators and commentaries, there are those that leave out any commentary on verses 25 through 30. And yet, it is an important, I believe, an important and a very pleasant scripture. It is an invitation from Jesus Christ the Son to those who come to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why I like this passage. Of course, I like all passages of Scripture, even those that I don't understand. I like them because they're the Word of God. But look at verse 28, this invitation that Christ is giving. Come unto me. Who's to come? All. All ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're tired, you're worn, you've been laboring, and the labor is getting to you. He says, I will give you rest. Jesus Christ himself promises us rest. I believe he promises us spiritual rest, but I think also it goes to the physical, because if you have rested spiritually, all of a sudden your physicality, who you are in the flesh, has received rest as well. The agitation that we see in our world around us comes from lack of rest. Rising early, staying up late, taking on the troubles of the world. One of the problems of the 21st century is that we have instant news, but it usually doesn't mean anything. All it does is upset the individual who's watching or listening or reading it. But he gives this invitation of peace and of solace and of rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. That's that heavy wooden device that's placed upon oxen so that they could pull the cart or pull the plow or whatever it might be. And when there's a yoke, it means that there are at least two animals. The yokes are made for two. And one side, one animal would fit in, and in the other side, the other animal would fit in. Well, here, he's giving this to us, and he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Well, now, if you're in the yoke, you're in one side of the yoke, who's in the other side? He is. He's there right beside you. Jesus Christ has promised to be there. And it's really interesting. Bancroft Bible Camp, when I was just a kid, and last I knew they still had it, but they had a yoke up in the dining hall, and it was one of the old styled wooden yokes that you would yoke the two cows together, the two oxen together, to have them work. And one thing that that yoke and all yokes had was a way to distribute the weight or the encumbrance of the yoke so that the larger animal would receive, or the most powerful animal, would receive the heavier portion of the load. Well, that's interesting. What does that speak to? Well, that speaks to the fact that Jesus Christ carries most of the load. We may think we do, we may think we've got it rough, but God Himself, through His Son, is carrying us along. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. The word rest is back to you. It comes there. It is yours. It is given by God. And then verse 30, because my yoke is easy, the word for there is because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Notice this encumbrance of a contraption that puts us in tandem with Jesus Christ is not burdensome. It's not difficult. It's easy. And then Jesus Christ has this yoke so configured that the burden's on Him, so the burden for us is light. What a wonderful passage of Scripture, and what wonderful promises that it holds for us. Matthew chapter 12, verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and His disciples were anhungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Now this is the Sabbath day. The corn there is barley, probably, or wheat. It is not corn as we think of maize or corn in the United States. This is the corn of wheat. The corn of the barley is what they were talking of. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto Him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. But He said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was anhungered, and they that were with him? How he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known that what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would have not condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And when He was departed thence, He went into their synagogue. Notice He uses the term, the Son of Man, which is the term for Messiah. And He says the Messiah is Lord even of the Sabbath day. Here's where they're getting their legal and their tradition all messed up. And they did that quite often. We do that too as Christians. If we're not careful, we will take something out of context. We'll take a scripture out of line, and we will make some tradition within our own group of churches or our own little congregation. And then we'll be going off in our own way, and it will not be according to God's plan. Here He says, the Messiah is in charge. He didn't let him off the hook. He says, here you are. If you'd known the word of God, then you would not have condemned those that are not guilty. And what is the word of God? I will have mercy and not sacrifice. So the Sabbath day, meaning the seventh day of the week or Saturday, It begins on Sunset Friday, lasts until the following sunset. And they had, as Pharisees, had taken the rules of the Sabbath and had detailed it out to where you could walk a certain amount, you could do a certain amount. You couldn't light a fire, but if a fire was already lit, you could use it, but you couldn't really cook, but you could cook a little, and you had to know what you could do and what you couldn't do and how you could do it, and, oh my, you can't catch a fish, but if it comes into your hand, you can, well, anyway, it was a lot of things that they had made into traditions that had only a small basis, if any, in Scripture. May the Lord deliver us from that sort of thing.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluffville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.